Blog Talk Radio.
Let the Holy Ghost be in you now. Do you feel it?
Come on.
Do you feel it?
Oh,
look at your touch. Lord, I believe I'm wrong.
Oh,
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of our Tuesday night Bible study here on this Wednesday night Bible study with Brooks. Thank God for each of you who were able to make it here tonight. Sister Cooper, we're going to ask that you would open up with a word of prayer if you don't mind.
Okay. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come thanking you, God. Lord, we just thank you for all you've done for us. God, we just thank you for the word I'm going to be on tonight, Lord. We just thank you, oh God. We just want you to just lead and guide us in the direction, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, continue to let your word penetrate down in our heart. But we'll be able to live against the word, live what the word is being said. Lord, we just thank you because you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy, oh God. We just thank you, oh God, for your goodness and your mercy. We just thank you for waking us up early this morning, Lord, and starting us on our way. God, we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, God. Oh God, continue to bless the First Lady on tonight, Lord. Bless her in a special way, oh God. Touching the liver, her body now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, you can do all things. There's nothing too hard for you. In your name, we give you all glory. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, we say thank God. Amen.
Amen. Do thank God for the prayer that has been offered up tonight. Again, we want to say thank you to each of you who were on tonight. And thank God that the Lord has blessed us. I appreciate what God has done. On yesterday, Sister Brooks had a sick episode at school, had to go get her, take her to the doctor, and go back and pick up the car, go to the pharmacy, pick up the grandchildren from daycare. And so wasn't able to get back home until well after the 7 o'clock p.m. hour. And so wasn't able to really do Bible study on last night, but wanted to get a little bit in on tonight. We won't, may not go the regular length of time that we usually do, but we thank God for blessing us. As the old people said, thank God for blessing us anyhow. And here it is cold now. I think I went outside today a little before 3, when 68 degrees, and I went back out about 5:15, and looks close to 40 degrees. So we've had a big swing in temperature here today, and it's going to get a little cool the next couple of days, and then back into the 70s, I think, on Saturday and Sunday. Well, tonight's Bible study is Love Thy Neighbor. We asked the question, again, I want to say before I get into the lesson, thank God for last week's Bible study with our guest, the Bishop James, Bishop Earl Carter. We thank God for him as he shared with us on last week. My special guest this week is you. You that are on the line listening and sharing with us on tonight. If you would, our lesson scripture will come from Mark the 12th chapter, verses 28 through 34. Mark 28 through 34. And it reads, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, what is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other greater commandment greater than these." So the scribe said unto him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He, and to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said unto him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared question him. And I read from the New King James Version, Matthew 12 chapter, verses 28 through 34. You ask a person, "Well, what is love?" And one of my humorous definitions of love is a misunderstanding between two fools. When we go to the Bible in the New Testament, brother, in the New Testament, uses three different Greek translations, Greek words that are used to describe love. One Greek word is agapeo. And agapeo being the verb, agape being the noun. And this is the Christian love, benevolence, goodwill, godly love. Then another term, another word used to describe love is phileo. And this means an impulsive and emotional love, a brotherly love, love for our brothers and our sisters. Then there's the third type of love, eros, which means an erotic or romantic or lustful love. But here in Mark, we're looking at two types of love, one the agape love, and second the phileo, the brotherly love. So love, and it was interesting that as we look into tonight's study, we think about how God loves. Scripture said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God's love is a love between a child and a parent. It's with our children. We love them. We love them deeply. And they really don't know the depths of our love that we have for our children. Children experience the love. They experience the manifestation of the love. But really, they don't really know and understand the depths of our love for our children. Neither do we understand the depth of God's love for us. We see the manifestation of his love. We see how God has blessed us. We see how God has kept us. We see how he's opened doors for us. We see how he has provided salvation. We see that how he has provided new life. We see the manifestations. We see the blessings, but we really don't really understand the depths of God's love toward us. Just like with our children, we can tell our children how much we love them and pat them on the back, pat them on the head, kiss them on the cheek, but they really don't understand the depths of our love for them. And so here we have in tonight's lesson, again, we're in Mark, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 28 verses. What had happened? You had the Pharisees, Sadducees, they were questioning Jesus. Pharisees asked a question, trying to get Jesus in trouble. First, they asked him a question, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? Hoping that Jesus would say, no, it's not lawful. Should not pay taxes to Caesar. And if he had said no, they would have gone and protested to the government saying Jesus is a tax evader and he's encouraging the people to not pay their taxes. But Jesus simply responded to them. He took the coin and he asked them, whose image and whose inscription is written on this coin? And they spoke and they answered truthfully. They said, Caesar's. And then Jesus simply told them, render to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar and render to God the things that belong to God. Now, the Pharisees lost their round. So then, let me allegorize. Pharisees couldn't do anything with them, so they reached over and they tagged the Sadducees. Sadducees enter the ring with Jesus, and here the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection, they come to Jesus and ask him a resurrection question. Here they were. They believed that once a man died, he was dead. Wasn't going to get up anymore. And they asked the question, if one man die, gets married, dies, leave a wife, and then his brother comes along, marries the woman as his wife. They have children. And then each brother died. Another brother died. He married the same woman. All these brothers, seven of them, married the same woman in succession after the previous brother's death. Then the woman dies also. Then comes Judgment Day, Resurrection Day, they asked the question, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For she was a woman who had been married to seven men and been married to all seven men lawfully. And then Jesus spoke to them and gave them from the word, or gave them concerning what Moses said and what the scripture has said, and let them know that there's not going to be any marriage nor given in marriage, that when we rise from the dead, we're going to be like the angels in heaven. Won't be any need for marriage, won't be any need to be procreating. Marriage was given for man here on earth for procreation reasons. There won't be any need in heaven. And so Jesus was letting them know that you are mistaken. And he told them, he said, I am with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is not the Lord of the dead. He's Lord of the living. So then the Pharisees also, now they tag in the scribes. The scribes enter into the ring, and here they ask a question, a twofold question. They ask Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And so when they ask Jesus a question, what is the first commandment of all? He begins to go to the scripture. And what does he say? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. As we look in what we call the Decalogue and the giving of the Ten Commandments, Jesus sums it up, paraphrase it. In the Decalogue, God says that he declares that what he's a jealous God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so we have to show our love for God and that we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. How do we show love for God? Jesus said it plainly, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, you'll obey God's commandments, and you'll also obey Jesus' commandments. We demonstrate our love for God by putting our trust in God. We demonstrate our love for God by prayer. We demonstrate by fellowship. And so he says, he reminds us the first commandment is to love God. And for a child of God, for anybody that God has created, if we can't love God, how can we love somebody else? If we don't love God, how can we love the one who's created in the image of God? If we don't love God, we really don't love ourselves. For we ourselves are created in his image and in his likeness. And so we go around, we don't appreciate God, we don't love God, because we find in God's word a commandment that we don't like, or that we don't want to follow, we don't want to obey, we don't want to accept as truth, because it cuts against the desires of our heart and what we want to do. And we have an attitude and try to say that we don't love God, and we try to bury God, say there is no God, God is dead. And we try to rationalize and explain away God and God's word. And we try and we want to hate God. But then if we hate God, we can't love one another. For if we hate God, we'll hate what God has created. So Jesus said that the first commandment, first of all the commandments, is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But if you notice what Jesus is saying, he's saying that we are not to have a uncommitted life where we give to God, but we're to give of God our totality, our total being. We're to love him with everything that we have. And we should do it because this is what God has done for us with salvation. God has demonstrated his love, that he held nothing back, gave his all, gave his best, so that we could have eternal life. And certainly if God has done that for us, we ought to demonstrate our love for God. in the same manner, we're not laying down our lives physically, but we're giving our lives over to the Lord. And the second, again, Jesus begins in verse 31, and the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So if you can't love God, you can't love your neighbor. You can't love God, you can't love yourself. So there's a match that has to take place. First thing you have to do is learn to love God. Now, with us ourselves, we appreciate ourselves. But you can really, how do we distinguish if a person does not love God but love themselves? Well, we'll say most people appreciate themselves. Most people want the best for themselves. Most people will not harm themselves to the point where they will kill themselves. But if you really love yourself, to prove that you love yourself, you would truly give yourself the best. And then God has provided salvation. God has provided the newness of life. God has provided all these things. And yet man rejects what God has given. This proves that men really don't love themselves, because they are not willing to accept what God has given them. But when you really love yourself, you want to give yourself the best. If you love yourself and you're doing everything that you can do to stay alive, you're eating healthy, you're exercising, you're doing this and you're doing that, then when the opportunity comes that you have an opportunity not only to live in this world, but to live in the world to come, if you are so passionate about this first life, then you should be passionate about the next life. Because, you know, people sing the song, when you're dead, you're done. Let the good times roll. But that's not true. When you're dead, you just have begun. Because when you're dead, you leave this present world and you enter into eternity. And eternity lasts forever. So it's no really, I'm dead and I'm done. No, you're dead and judgment is next. So Jesus said, the second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these. So Jesus talks about love. We have to love God intensely, and we have to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. If you love yourself, you do what for yourself? You look out for yourself. You take care of yourself. You provide for yourself. You don't do those things which are harmful to yourself. You try to look out for yourself. And if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you will look out for your neighbor. How can I look out for my neighbor who I don't know? One of the ways that you look out for them spiritually, you can pray for them. Another way you can look out for them, you can witness to them. You can try to introduce them to the Lord. Because the ultimate demonstration of love is trying to bring others to Jesus Christ. In other words, we are trying to prevent people from going to hell and trying to have people on the right path so that they can see God in the end. Question came about in Scripture. Someone asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus gave the parable of the Good Samaritan that we call in the book of Luke. The man was traveling, Jewish man was traveling. Ended up injured, and people were in a hurry, and they passed him by, left him wounded on the side of the road. One who was a, in every person that passed him, they were of the Jewish faith themselves. But then comes along a Samaritan, and the Samaritans and the Jews always had the tension between the two groups of people. But the Samaritan man had compassion, tended to the man, carried the man to an inn, or as we say, to a hotel, put the man up in the hotel, told the innkeeper to take care of him, and the Samaritan told him, I'm on my business trip, but when I return, I'll stop by, check in on the man, and whatever expense it has been for you to tend to the man that I'm leaving here, I'll take care of the tab when I get back. And Jesus asked the question to those hearers, and everybody understood that the one who showed hospitality was the one who was doing God's will. Now, you remember, it was even one of those of the religious community passed the man who was wounded, and he wouldn't stop and help because he was on his way to perform his religious duty. And so sometimes we, as God's people, we get caught up in doing church work that we forget to do kingdom work. And so the religious man was on his way to do religious things, but he forgot the greatest service that he could show to God was caring for one of God's children. And sometimes we forget that same thing. We get caught up in doing church work rather than doing kingdom work. Well, another instance in Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus was talking, and he reminded the people what they had heard in the law of Moses: love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus said that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So the scripture said we're to love, back here in Mark 12 and 31, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, notice that Jesus didn't use the term you shall love your brethren or your brothers as you love yourself, but he used, but we should love our neighbors. And the word that he used for love here is phileo. And so what he's saying, that you should show brotherly love for your neighbors. Well, who is my neighbor? Neighbors could be anybody, whether they are the community of faith or not, whether they're sinner or saint. Brothers are the ones who are doing God's will. That's what Jesus said. They came to him one time, said, Jesus, your folks want to talk to you. He asked, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Is that the one that does the will of God? So with our neighbor, we're to even show our neighbor brotherly love. And we love our brothers, our natural brothers. We stand up for them. We stand up with them. We chastise them when they're wrong. We show them love. We show them patience. And so this is the same way we ought to treat our neighbors. We're to treat the sinners. What happened with in Jesus' day when the religious people encountered the sinner, what did they do? They looked down on them. They talked about them. Talked about Jesus. Told his disciple, your master eats with sinners. Asked the question, why is he going up in that publican's house? But Jesus was teaching by word and example. Instead of us looking down, instead of us shunning one another, instead of us condemning those who are not of the household of faith, let's reach out and bring them into the household of faith. And if you would notice, when Jesus was witnessing and people were receiving salvation, there was a total change with these people. One instance, Jesus told a man, go and sin no more, lest some worse thing come up on you. Other instances, people were truly converted and they were appreciative of what God has done, and they had made up their mind to live according to the word of God. One, Zacchaeus, he was so grateful for salvation that he wanted to make restoration and restitution to everybody that he had done wrong. But when it came to salvation, and we look at it in the New Testament, there was always a change that the people were willing to make, a change from being a sinner to being a child of God. You know, it's sad that we, what we have going on today, what we're calling salvation, people come to church, say, I believe, I love, but yet and still there is no repentance. There is no changing. People come to church and they are, as old folks say, playing house. They are living as husband and wife, but they're not married. Don't intend to be married. But then you see it, the sad case that it happens so many times, more often than not, that one will want to give their lives to Christ, come to the church, come to the altar, pray, ask God for forgiveness, but they leave off the part to go and sin no more. Instead of them going and say moving out of that relationship, they continue to stay in a relationship trying to be saved and live in sin, be saved and do wrong. And so this is a type of salvation that we have today, that we allow today. People just say that they're sorry to God. People just say they want to change, but people are not making a change that would demonstrate that they are sorry for their actions toward God, and they want to change. And if you want to change, you can change. And so when it comes to love, love is one of the great commandments. We're to love God We're to love our enemies. We're to love our neighbors. But what about people who are other religions, other nations, other races? Are we to love them too? Yes, we are, because they are our neighbors. May not be living next door to us, may not be living in our communities, may not be living in our states, but because they too were created in the image and in the likeness of God, they are our neighbors. So the Bible speaks about love. And we as God's people, we are going to have to demonstrate love for our neighbors. As Pastor Carter and I were talking on last week, love does not necessarily overlook the wrongs that another person is doing. But true love reaches out and tries to bring correction. True love looks out and tries to put others in right standing before God. True love sometimes causes discomfort. But the blessing is that in the end, true love brings great joy. And we live in a society where people don't want us to demonstrate true love. We live in a society where the world wants us to demonstrate this false love that the world has. False love of letting people do what they want to do because they have a governmental right to do it. But true love reminds everybody, doesn't matter what the Constitution of the United States says, that one day Jesus is coming back. And Jesus is going to establish his kingdom. Because even though we have been living in sin, we all are going to have to bow before the Lord. Scripture says, reminds us, it's just not the homosexual who will not repent that's going to hell. But the scripture reminds us that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Scripture reminds us that the adulterer, the fornicator, the thief, all classes of men who will not repent of their sins, who will not ask God to forgive them, all of these will have their part in the lake of fire. But if we love one another, you don't want to see anybody else be lost. You don't want to see anybody else be hurt. And so if we love our neighbors, we will reach out to the world and try to draw the world to Christ. Thank God for tonight, thank God for this lesson, thank God for the fellowship. And God bless you all. Thank God for each of you. God bless you, Mother Brooks. Did you have anything that you wanted us to say or remind us of on tonight?
No, God bless you. Very good lesson tonight on love. And I just enjoy the teaching. And we'll continue to pray for your wife, and we'll pray for one another. And God bless you.
God bless you. There's not anything to do with the Bible study, but did you see the tribute page that Lonnie Faye put up for Aunt Gladys?
No, I didn't. I haven't had my kept it on today.
Okay. All right. God bless you.
I'll look for it. Thank you.
All right. Thank God for my brother Fred. Thank God for you being on tonight. Again, thank you, Sister Cooper, even Sister Brooks. She's still on the line. Let's continue to pray for each other and pray for one another. Anybody else have anything they wanted to contribute or say tonight? If not, let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity that you've given us to come together here on this night. We ask that you would bless us, bless our congregation, bless God's, bless your people everywhere. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would touch Sister Brooks. We pray that you would touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. We pray for healing. We pray for deliverance right now in Jesus' mighty name. Dear Lord, we ask that you look on Sister Blanche Dixon. We ask that you continue to bless her. We pray that you would touch her right now. Touch her body, touch her spirit, touch her mind right now in the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, we ask that you encourage her heart right now. Dear Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray that you would look on Mother Brooks, that you would touch her body, that you would strengthen her. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you would just bless her and let your anointing come on her as never before. Lord, look up on us all. Look up on the missionary. Look up on my brother. Look up on me. Bless us and keep us in perfect peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.